And I mentioned to you this morning that we'd be here in Psalm 119. You see it in the bulletin. And we're looking at verses 9 through 16. The 119th Psalm is a psalm all about the Word of God. It's all about the Bible. And you read through this psalm and you find that the psalmist mentions many things about his interaction with the Word of God and how he refers to the Bible in so many different ways throughout this psalm, and different declarations that he makes that we find throughout the psalm with regard to his relationship to the Bible and the way in which he'll study it and learn it and memorize it and so on and so forth, share it. And so this evening, the psalm is broken up into stanzas, and you can see that if you have a Bible that has it outlined that way. And so the first stanzas, verses 1 through 8, we'll be looking at verses 9 through 16, which is the second stanza in this psalm, and looking just at these verses this evening specifically for the message. Of course, we'll reference other portions of the psalm, but I want you to notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, a familiar verse of Scripture, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Isn't that a great statement? With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. What a great desire. Teach me thy statutes. I want to know your word. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. As we look at this psalm, my focus is fixed on the latter statement of verse number 10, when the Bible says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What a great desire and prayer of the psalmist. Let me not wander from thy commandments. If I were to title the message this evening, you see in the bulletin, that's the phrase that I've picked from these verses of Scripture to title our thought this evening, the sermon for tonight. Mr. Robert Robinson is the author of a familiar hymn. It's the hymn, Come Thou Fount. How many of you know the song? You've heard it. You've no doubt you've had the opportunity to sing it in a service at some point. Many of us enjoy singing that song and we're familiar with it. And the third verse of that song says this, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. The songwriter said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We're familiar with the song. And that third verse is so powerful and so important. It is said, it is documented that later in this man's life, Mr. Robinson, he was riding in a stagecoach, and as he was riding in a stagecoach, one of the other passengers in that stagecoach was a young lady that started singing that hymn. And as she began to sing the hymn, she looked at him and she asked him, what do you think about that song? Not knowing that he was the man that authored the song. He acknowledged that he was the author. And here's what he said. I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them, if I could feel now as I felt then. It is said that he wandered in his later years. He got away from the Lord. He penned those words, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And he said, if I could, if I had 1,000 worlds that I could give, I would give them if I could feel now how I felt then. And the psalmist says in verse number 10, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We spent all year studying through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and we've had as our theme for this calendar year, continue. We've had the opportunity to sing that theme song, as Pierre so adequately said this evening. If you don't know it by now, well then, you're not going to learn it. We only got a couple more times to sing it. And the reality is that the song encourages us with the same thought that we have from our theme for this year that we find as Paul is giving this instruction to Timothy, continue, continue. But Timothy, as he gets to the end of his life, or Paul, when he gets to the end of his life, he says to Timothy, as we dealt with a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, that he had finished his course. And he had kept the faith, and he had done what God had instructed and called him to do, and he finished. And the reality is that when we look at this verse of Scripture and we look at the greater context, he says, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I hope that it would be a desire for every one of us this evening that we would say, "I don't want to wander from the commandments of the Lord. I don't want to get away." That word wander in verse number 10, it carries with it the idea to err, to stray, or to go astray. And to begin to think about those, the temptations that we face, the enemy that's constantly pulling us away from what God has given us to do and the work that He's clearly commanded us to do, and living in obedience to God's Word. And we must have our heart's desire, "Lord, as the psalmist said, let me not wander from thy commandments." As we look at this stanza, we find that it begins with a question. That question is then answered, followed by both actions and resolutions. And we'll mention the question in verse number 9, and then we'll look at the actions and the resolutions that the psalmist gives us within this particular stanza to help us understand the question and really the answer, our response. It says this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" You know, the Bible says much about our way, our walk. We find that here, even in this psalm, in the first several verses, there's references to the way of the individual. Notice in verse number 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him," how? "With the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." We find that in verse number 5, the psalmist says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." What a desire. That my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We understand that the question is asked in verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The psalmist is rejoicing throughout this particular psalm for the reality that he had the Scriptures. He had the portion of God's Word that had been given. He makes the statement, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," in verse 89. In verse 97, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." He understands and he mentions how God's law and how the testimonies and statutes, as he refers to them throughout the psalm, he understands the impact that they have on his life and on the believer's life. Truly, this evening, as we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, God's word is profitable. And God's word gives us the direction and the counsel that we need. God's word provides us with the truth that we need as we travel through this world, as we live this Christian life. God's word is that lamp that he says in verse 105 of this same familiar hymn. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I was talking even with someone yesterday at the open house, and we're talking about just the path before us. And I said, "Well, remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light." And we find that truth in God's word, but we understand that that lamp that's for my feet, that light for my path, that really God's word provides that light for us to take that next step. And really, that's what we need to be concerned about, is what is the next step that I need to take? What's the next step for me as I'm seeking to follow the Lord, as I want my ways to be pleasing in His sight? What is that next step for me? So often what happens is people want to know 500 steps from now what is going to be and what my path is going to look like. But the reality is that we're not really prepared for that far in advance. But as we take one step at a time and we're stepping in the light and we're obeying the Lord and we're following the direction that He provides us with, then God gives light for the next step and for the next step and for the next step, and we follow Him day by day, step by step, we walk with Him. And what a joy. And so we find that this question is answered by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I'm familiar with the thought. If you turn over to the New Testament and look over at what Peter says in 2 Peter, notice if you will, as Peter is writing here and he's giving truth, and Peter had the privilege of walking with the Lord. He had the privilege of hearing the Lord Jesus Christ teach. I mean, he heard Him with his own voice. His own ears heard the voice of Jesus, and he heard Jesus teach, and he heard Him preach. And we find that Peter, not only did he hear the Lord Jesus Christ, but Peter was privileged to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's what he's referencing. He's referencing that event, that experience that he had when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And not only did they had the opportunity to hear the messages from the Lord Jesus Christ, but on the Mount of Transfiguration, they heard the voice of God. And Peter is writing, and notice in verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Notice in verse 18, "In this voice which came from heaven," what does He say? "We heard." We heard. "When we were with Him in the holy mount." But then notice what He says in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." And then He says this, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." That ye take heed. Remember the answer to the question in Psalm 119 and verse number 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And here Peter says, "Ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And I'm so thankful that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But the reality is, just because we know what this book is, just because we know the power of this book, just because we know the fact that this book is profitable, does not mean that we will necessarily take heed to the truth contained within the book. Now, we ought to, don't you agree? I mean, we should. We ought to say, well, that's what the Bible says, and therefore I'm just going to do it because that's what God says. But we're humans. Sometimes we lean on our own understanding. We try to figure out things. Listen, there's your flesh and your spirit are at enmity one with the other. Amen? Have you found it to be the case? Remember what Paul said in the book of Romans, "The things that I would, I do not. The things that I would not, that I do." There's this great conflict. And we find that the psalmist says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." As we begin to look at this particular stanza within Psalm 19 and understand what the psalmist is desiring and how he's approaching this, I want you to look at these actions. There's four actions followed by three resolutions. And so really seven thoughts this evening, but they'll be brief and we'll get through it. And I want you to see the actions. The first action is in verse number 10. Because the answer to the question is by taking heed according to thy word, he says, therefore, number one action is this in verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." You know, God's not interested in half-hearted worship. He wants our whole heart. We referenced already back in verse number 2 where the Bible says, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." And so now the psalmist, understanding the principle that is given in verse number 2, that those that would seek the Lord with their whole heart will be blessed, he says this, this action that he's going to take, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." I want you to think about seeking the Lord and how important it is that we seek God, that we seek His Word. We find that the Bible mentions, as we begin to think about this idea of seeking the Lord, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," right? Is that what the Bible says? And you think about this idea of seeking the Lord, and I think about Psalm 42, and you might want to turn over there very quickly. It's a psalm that you're familiar with, but I want you to see what the psalmist says in Psalm 42. With regard to this idea of seeking the Lord, and he says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." And here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 42 and verse number 1, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" The psalmist says in Psalm 63, in verse number 1, notice what the Bible says, "O God, thou art my God. Notice, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." I wonder, if we evaluate our lives, how would we describe our seeking of the Lord? How much are we in this idea that we find with the psalmist, that he's, "With my whole heart have I sought thee"? You know, when you get your heart into something, it's evident. Have you not seen that in life? Have you not experienced that? You see somebody that's kind of, we use the phraseology, they're going through the motions. Have you ever seen something like that? You said their heart's not really in it, and you can tell that. And can I submit it to you this way? You know when your whole heart's not in it too. We do. We know when we're just kind of coasting or just going through the motions. And God wants our whole heart. Can I say it this way also? God deserves our whole heart. He deserves that we would say that I'm going to seek Him with my whole heart. I think about the truth of God's Word, and even in in this psalm, in Psalm 19, where the psalmist talks about really the treasures that he can have and how he seeks the truths from God's Word. He says in verse 162 of the psalm, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." And you think about an individual, and if you could think about someone that's searching for some treasure and they're searching with their whole heart, I mean, they're all in. They're fully vested. They're going to pull no stops. I mean, they're all in to find that treasure. Can I tell you that the Lord is far greater than any treasure that you could find on this earth? I was sharing with someone this morning on the way out. They asked me a question that was a great question, and I answered the question by quoting a verse of Scripture. I said, absolutely, as an answer to their question, because the Bible says, "In His presence is fullness of joy." And the question was this: have you ever had a time with the Lord when you just feel like you don't want to leave? You don't want to stop. You've been praying and you've been reading and you just feel like, "I don't want to leave. I'm having such revival," if we could use that word. Yes, because in His presence is fullness of joy. And the psalmist says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Notice the second action, if you will. In verse number 11, the Bible says this: "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Have you ever tried memorizing Scripture? Yes or no? Have you ever tried memorizing Scripture? Is it easy or hard? Hard. You know, it gets harder the older you get. How many of you found that to be the case? I mean, I'm just being honest. These little kids, they can memorize verses pretty quickly. And when we were younger, our minds were a little sharper. We were maybe able to memorize things a little quicker as well. But I want you to think about this idea of hiding God's Word in our hearts. Sometimes I think we do a disservice for our kids, and I've been guilty of it even during some VBSs where maybe you give out some prizes and what have you for memorizing these verses. And oftentimes they're not truly memorizing the verses, they're just reciting them. And they just look. Okay, I can tell you, for God so loved the world that he gives, and they got to say it so fast because they can't, because it's going to be gone in a second, right? No. That's not the idea of hiding God's word in your heart. When you hide God's word in your heart, it's something that you're able to recall. It's something that in that moment, as I mentioned this morning from Matthew 4, in that temptation moment that you can say, as it is written, because you've memorized God's word. Can I tell you, when you see the psalmist saying, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that requires commitment, dedication, work. It requires time. There have been some that say, well, it's just too hard to memorize verses. You know, there's a lot of hard things in life that we do. Honestly, there are a lot of hard things in life that we do. So just because something is hard when it comes to the Christian life doesn't mean we should shy away from it and say, well, it's just too hard to memorize verses, I'm just not going to do it. No. The psalmist says, when I understand that I need to take heed according to thy word, I want to hide God's word in my heart. I understand this evening that for many of us, we have Bibles readily available. I actually have seen, and you have as well, I'm sure, some reports of this year of just the record sales of Bibles in America this calendar year. And there's been many reports that I've seen from various organizations that have been sending out these articles about the number of Bibles sold in the U.S. this year and how people are hungry for the truth. I hope that's true. Because thy word is truth, amen? And we do live in a crazy world. And I understand that we have a lot of Bibles available. You have it on your phone, on a device, you can listen to it, so on and so forth. But I wonder tonight, and it's not likely to happen in America, but we understand that it's happened in a lot of places around the world throughout history, what would happen tonight if they came and took all of our Bibles away? You say it'd be a tragedy. I agree. But how much of God's word would you still have? How much of God's word would you still have? I've read accounts of individuals that were in communist-type countries where the Bibles were confiscated. They weren't allowed to have Bibles, and how they just cherished every little verse that they ever memorized and how important it became to them. Someone wisely said, at times we don't appreciate what we have until we no longer have it. And I think that we've all been guilty of that at some level in our lives, in some arena of our lives. But we think about the psalmist here, and he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. It takes work. Develop a goal. For our church this year, we've had the opportunity to have our church calendars where there's a verse for every month. And if you memorize the verses from 1 and 2 Timothy throughout this calendar year, you memorize 12 verses from those two books. There have been some that have come to me and they've said, Pastor, can I recite the verses to you? Do you know how encouraging that is to me? And oh man, I forgot that one. I'm having a hard time with it. Sorry, just be patient. No, you're encouraging me. Don't apologize to me. Because the fact that you've been working on this and you've been working on this and you want to tell me these verses, that just blesses my heart. Why? Because it's good for you to hide God's word in your heart. This next year, our calendars are to be delivered hopefully this upcoming week, and the new theme and the calendars that will be delivered, again, you'll have opportunity to have a verse for each month, the 12 more verses. None of them are the same ones for 2024. So if you keep doing that, you say, a verse a month, it's really not that hard. You could be memorizing more than that. But we have a plan. I use index cards. You say, index cards, that's old school. Yeah, it works, though. They got all these new fancy technology things to try to help you memorize things, and they got these apps. You know what the problem is for me? I got to use the app, and I just don't ever get to it. But index cards, they sit on my desk, and they're right there. Sometimes people put them in the mirror and they put them on the whatever and they want to have it in front of them. Why? Because they want to memorize God's word. It's a commitment that we're making. It's this action that we're taking. Notice in verse 13, he says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We see the third action that's listed here. He says, I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And so here the psalmist has not only, and you see a progression. The Bible says in verse 10 that with my whole heart have I sought thee. In verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. And now in verse number 13, I've declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I mean, when I'm seeking God with my whole heart and I'm memorizing his word, guess what starts coming out of us? His word. We start declaring the judgments of the Lord. We start thinking and acting biblically. Someone asks us a question, and our answer to the question is a biblical principle, a biblical truth to give the answer to the individual, because we've been seeking God with our whole heart, because we've been hiding God's word in our hearts, and therefore we're declaring his judgments. What a joy. You ever meet somebody that you say, man, they talk biblical talk. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? I mean, that's good. It's good. Baptist people were referred to as being people of the book. That's what we referred to centuries ago. And by the way, it was intended to be a derogatory type of a comment that you're people of the book, but I'm telling you what other book would you want to have a commitment to? I mean, than God's Word, to be known for being people of the book. Notice he says this in verse 14. Not only did he declare all the judgments, verse 13, but notice in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. You know, when we're seeking God with our whole heart, when we're hiding God's word in our heart, and we're talking about God's word, we're declaring it, you know what we start doing? We start rejoicing. It's a progression that we see in these actions that the psalmist outlines when he's answering this question that's asked to start verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Okay, well then here's what I'm going to, here are the actions that I'm going to take. Understanding the answer to the question, here are the actions that I'm going to take so that I can have a way that's pleasing to the Lord, so that when God looks at my life, God will be pleased with my life. So then we find that there's four actions followed by three resolutions. I want you to see the first resolution in verse 16. The Bible says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Verse 15. The first one is in verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So the first resolution, the I will. Those are good statements. They're declarative resolutions. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts. What does it mean to meditate? You know, that the world today has an idea of meditation that's different than what God's word means with meditation. The world has an idea, this Eastern mindset of meditation, of getting alone and kind of casting out every thought from your mind and getting in this kind of happy place or something. I don't know. It's a weird kind of like void of thought. That's not meditation. When the psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts, it's that idea of it just continually going through our minds. We're just kind of just musing upon the truth of God's word. Have you ever walked away from your time with God? Have you ever walked away from a church service and just the truth of God's word just was permeating your mind? You're meditating on it. You're meditating on it. There are times in which as I'm reading the Bible in my daily devotions that I'll jot down as I write various thoughts and things that I'm jotting down as I'm reading my Bible. And there's sometimes, Armando, that I come to a place I'm like, I don't really understand that. I'm going to jot that down because I need to go back and figure that out. You say, Pastor, that happens to you? Yeah. None of us know it all. Amen. There are times in which it's like, I got to go figure that out. And I begin to meditate on it. People have asked me over the years, how long does it take to prepare a sermon? It varies. And one of the reasons that I have a hard time telling you how long it takes to prepare a sermon is because I just try to spend time just meditating on it, just letting it just get in my brain, in my soul. The thought, the passage, the principle, whatever it is that God's given me. And he says, I will meditate. It takes time. It takes time. But we're meditating on God's word, on something that is pure and profitable and perfect, and it's been preserved for us, and how blessed we are. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts, a resolution, a determined statement that he makes. He says in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will delight myself in thy statutes. You know, there are a lot of people trying to delight themselves in a lot of different things. But the psalmist says, I'm going to find joy and I'm going to find this delight in thy statutes. And have you ever been reading the Bible and something just kind of made sense to you that you had maybe before not fully understood or grasped? Maybe it was a thought, a truth. Maybe you can remember when you first got saved and you didn't understand something. You're just reading the Bible for the first time. So, man, this is awesome. Listen, God's Word is a living book. We ought to pray regularly that God helps us to take a fresh approach to His Word. I'll be honest with you this evening. As a pastor, sometimes it's challenging with regard to, I sit down to read the Bible and it's like, I've preached through this book before. I've taught through this before. I've spent 50 weeks teaching on this particular book. God, would you help me to approach it fresh? Would you help me not to have my mind wandering somewhere else as I'm just kind of reading? No, God, I want to hear from you. Listen, I change my Bible out regularly because I mark up my Bible and I want to read it without markings in it. I got a new one sitting on my desk right now that I'm just going through reading it, and the pages stick together and everything else because it's brand new, drive me crazy. But it doesn't have very many markings in it. And actually, this first time reading through it, I didn't really put any markings in it on purpose. Because what happens? Well, I know me, and you know you. When I open my Bible and there's markings, guess what my eyes want to go to? The markings. It's like, oh yeah, that's a good truth. And then maybe I'm not. And so I just want that fresh approach. It's a living book. And it brings us joy. I remember, I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. I remember the first time I ever read about the crossing of the Red Sea. I'm telling you what, I was ready to swing on the rafters, man. I was like, this is absolutely amazing. I was in Bible college. I was a freshman in Bible college. You didn't know about the Red Sea in your Bible college? Yes. I had no idea about the crossing of the Red Sea. I was in Bible college. And I remember sitting there, Tim, and these students there, they're like, oh, come on. We heard this before. We know this. And I'm like, this is awesome. Because it is. Because it is. And if we're not careful, we can get kind of crusty, kind of stale. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, how we take that fresh approach. I will delight myself in thy statutes. And then notice the last resolution at the end of verse 16. He says, I will not forget thy word. Now that's perplexing to me. You ever forget something? Come on, don't look at you ever forget something? You say, I forgot something an hour ago, right? Yeah, we forget stuff all the time. Have you ever forgotten something that you said, I'm not going to forget this? It's almost kind of like you jinxed yourself when you say that, right? You say, okay, I'm not going to forget this. And guess what you forgot? This, whatever this was, right? And you go and you say, I know I came in here. Have you gotten to the point where you go into a room and you're like, why did I come into the room? I knew I was coming to get something, but I don't remember what I was going to get. And then you do this, you leave the room so that you can go back into the room, and you say, man, this is getting old. Yeah, I know. I feel like, why is that happening? And I know some of you look at me like I'm crazy because you say you have a great memory, and I do have a great memory, but it's not as great as it was like 10 years ago. And you say, Pastor, just wait until you're my age. I understand. I'm concerned. But he says, I will not forget thy word. How could he make such a statement? How could he make that statement? He's so purposed and so determined to seek God and His Word. And he's going to make it his meditation. He's going to make it his delight. It's going to be so in him that he feels like there's no way I could forget this because it just becomes part of me. I've read accounts of people that have various levels of maybe Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever it might be, but they can quote Bible verses. I've read accounts. And I could tell you this evening that, listen, that person at some point in their life, they had to absolutely saturate their hearts and souls and minds with God's Word. And they might not remember who you are, but they remember verses of Scripture. It's amazing. You can read accounts of people that have had these experiences. And it's awesome. And the psalmist says, I will not forget thy word. It's going to be a constant reminder. I'm going to keep it in front of me regularly. I'm going to read it. I'm going to seek with my whole heart the Lord. I'm going to seek His Word. I'm going to hide it in my heart. I'm going to declare. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm not going to forget. Man, it's a wonderful resolution. This evening, when we answer this question in verse 9, and couple it with this thought in verse 10 that we use for our title tonight, let me not wander from thy commandments. I hope tonight that we'd say, I don't want to wander. The psalmist would say this in verse 67 of the same psalm, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. I mentioned this morning that I was reading through the book of Nehemiah. I've been reading some other prophets recently. You know, it's kind of interesting when you see what the nation of Israel suffered and how they responded. Not all of them, but some of them. And here the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, also after the affliction, have I kept thy word. I would hope tonight that we would not have to suffer affliction or suffer some great hardship in order to seek the Lord. But that we would truly just say, I want to seek God. I don't want to wander from thy commandments. No, I want to walk with the Lord. I want to continue until the day of my departure, whenever that is. And so here's some thoughts from the psalmist. Again, four actions, three resolutions that maybe tonight, as we examine our lives this week, as we go through our lives and we say, you know, these are some things that I need to incorporate in my life. I know if I'm seeking God with my whole heart or not. I know if I'm hiding God's word in my heart or not. I can go back and I can look at my life and say, when was the last time I memorized a verse of Scripture? I said this to someone recently. I can go in my life and I can look back and say, when was the last time I shared the gospel with someone? Not the last time someone I was able to lead them to Christ, because that's God's business. But our business is to give the gospel. When was the last time I tried to even share the gospel with someone? I even cared enough to talk to them about their soul. When's the last time I hid a Bible verse in my heart? And as we evaluate our lives, as we begin to, it is always this time of year, you go into a new year and all those things, good time for evaluation. The psalmist says, I don't want to wander. I hope tonight we'd say, I don't want to wander. I want to keep on keeping on, keep serving God, living for God. Let's take these actions and these resolutions and apply them in our lives. Shall we pray? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word and for the truth contained therein. I pray, God, that you would help us to be able to be students of your word, and, Lord, to seek you with our whole heart, to seek your word, Lord, to search the scriptures daily. Lord, that we would hide your word in our hearts. Lord, that we would be doers of the word, that we would speak and declare thy word. Help us, Lord. I pray that you'd move and work in this time of invitation as only you can, and we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory for every decision made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?